in 2024, and we have certainly been doing that. We have a new business year starting this month, and the theme is Thrive, Don't Just Survive in 2025. And we take a sneak peek at that this September. We have our annual meeting tonight, but you know what? Our theme is still go through God's open door in 2024, right on up through the end of this year in December. And you know, an open door is an opportunity with an invitation provided for you by the Lord Jesus so you can worship and serve Him by means of that open door that He gives you and I. And this morning, I want to look with you at an open door provided by God the Father, purchased by God the Son, the Lord Jesus. But I want to say, although the Lord paid for this door to be open for you and this offer, still you must personally go through the door, the open door of opportunity. The door has been opened, but you need to go through it by faith. And I want to call your attention this morning to this open door. If you'll look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, I'll read the verses. It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." So I want to ask you to look with me this morning and go through your open door in 2024. And I want to say three things from Hebrews 10, 16 through 22. Number one, by your going through the open door of the new covenant. Notice what it says in verse 16 of Hebrews 10, going through the open door of the new covenant. I'll read it. It says there, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Now, I want to say that God says that after those days, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And we know that God has provided for that for the nation of Israel. They've not yet received the new covenant blessing, but it is coming. God said it's coming. However, until Israel receives that, Jew and Gentile that have come to Christ and put their faith in Him, we enter into the spiritual benefits of the new covenant and the blessings of the new covenant. Now let me explain to you. I had a professor in college. His name was Dr. Donald Lawnstein, and he taught our John and Romans course. He was a genius of a man. He said, when you're studying the Bible, he said to the preachers that were in the college, he said, "Think Jewish. Think Jewish." The Bible was written by Jews. It was based in Jewish history. And so in order to interpret and understand the Bible, you have to think according to Jewish history. And God says that you and I who believed on the Lord, we've entered into the blessings of a new covenant. And that's a new agreement between us and God. The old covenant was a covenant where God's commandments were written in stones. Remember, tables of stone. Moses carried them down from the mount. And they were written in stone. Now, I believe there's a understanding from that God wants you to understand. And that is the hearts of the people, of the Jewish people that received that old covenant, their hearts were still stony. Their hearts were still hard toward God. And let me say, if you have not gone through the open door, if you've not gone through the open door to receive the new covenant blessings that the Lord Jesus has opened up, you're still under those old covenant commandments. And which means that God's commandments are written, they're in stone, so to speak. They're unchangeable, but your heart is also stony. Your heart is also hard toward God. And the old covenant did not have any promise that was saying that I am going to change the hearts of the people that are under this covenant. And most of the people, their hearts were hard toward God. But notice verse 16 says, "I will, under the new covenant, put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. In other words, if you receive the blessings of the new covenant, you go through the open door that God has given you to have a new covenant relationship to God. Now the Lord will not just have his commandments in a book, not just have his commandments written in stone while your heart remains stony and hard. No, he will give you a soft heart. I remember I had a guy in my church. He had lived his life under the covenant of the law. He had not loved God and not loved the commandments. He understood the Bible. He understood all these things. But he was into this world. And he said, this man said to me, I was sitting in church. And he said, I was sitting back there right where Tom is sitting. And he said, it was like God reached into my heart. And he took out my old stone heart. And he put in a heart of soft clay. And he began to write in his heart what I was preaching, and he wanted to understand it, and he wanted to put it into practice in his life. You see, that's what God does under the new covenant. And I want you to notice also verse 17 and 18, it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Have you gone through God's open door to have a new covenant? At one time, I was under the old covenant. My heart was hard. I knew the commandments, but I was afraid that I was condemned to die and afraid to go to hell because I had broken God's commandments. That's the old covenant. But under the new covenant, God says not only will he write his commandments in your heart and make your heart soft, but Christ's sacrifice by offering his own body and his own blood, not as an animal sacrifice, that would take care of your sins. That's why it says in verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You see, in the old covenant, they had to keep offering sacrifices. They had to keep giving animals, and it would not pay for their sin and cleanse their sin. It would just cover it, and then they would have to offer it again. Every year, they remembered all their sins, and they had to keep offering because those sacrifices would not take away sin. They just remembered their sin and pointed their sin out. I remember before I entered into a new covenant relationship that the Bible just convicted me of sin. Preaching just convicted me of sin. Convicted me I would have to pay for my sin one day and go to hell. But under the new covenant that God offers us, Jesus ends all the sacrifices. And now his sacrifice says, all your sins are paid for. God says, I'll remember them no more. When it comes to judgment, he'll say, I can't remember. I can't remember anything you've done. It's all been wiped out by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the new covenant. When you enter into the open door that Jesus has given by his blood and by his broken body, you then get that new covenant relationship where all of your sins are paid for. That's why people that keep going to church, they keep trying to do good, they keep doing the sacraments, they keep going to a priest, they keep going, they are not under a new covenant. They are under condemnation, the old covenant, and they are hardened in their heart. They don't have a soft heart toward God because the old covenant of the law can never save you. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He died under the curse of the law, and through him, you can have your sins forgiven, and he, by his Spirit, comes into your heart, beloved, and he begins to write on your heart so that you want to do his will. You have a desire to do his will. You have the power to do his will, and that's why Jesus said, you know, the Pharisees who represented the law, they don't lift one finger to help you. They don't help you at all. They just condemn you, and they make it hard for you. He said, but my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Why? Because he kept that law. He died under the curse of that law. He rose again to give us a new covenant. You say, what kind of a new covenant? Well, the old covenant said, if you keep my commandments, you'll live. If you break one, you die and go to hell. The old covenant said, we're going to keep on offering sacrifices that will never pay for the sin. You'll ever be sacrificing and never be sure you're going to heaven. That's why people that are under the law, they're not sure they're going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Have you gone through that open door? Have you committed your salvation to Jesus Christ? Well, then you're under the new covenant blessings. You have all of your sins paid for. You have the assurance of a home in heaven. He said, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But thank God, I do believe he's God in the flesh. I do believe he died. I do believe that his body and blood, his broken body and his shed blood, takes care of my sin. And I know I'm saved. You can know that too. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go through that door of opportunity and enter into that new covenant provision. I'm talking today about our theme for 2024. Go through God's open door in 2024. What? By going through the open door of the new covenant. Oh man, get out of the old covenant relationship to God and enter into that new covenant relationship to God. It's bought and paid for. The invitation is to you. The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the invitation. Come. You say, well, how do I come? Isaiah the prophet said, come without money. Come without price. You say, how do I come? Come as you are. Come as a sinner. Come as one condemned. Come as one that has nothing that you can offer, nothing that you can offer to pay for your sins. That's the way you come. But my friend, once you come that way, know that Jesus Christ has offered it all. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And you say, well, how do I come? Come through faith. What's faith? Faith looks outside of yourself. Faith looks to Jesus and say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He says, come. He says, and you will be washed white as snow. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be as wool, and he will make you snow white. Amen and amen. Go through the open door of the new covenant. And that's number one for 2024. Number two, by your seeing into the open door of the heavenly holy of holies. And I'd like you to notice, first of all, by your seeing the open door provided by Christ's blood. Let's look at that in verse 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Notice that, boldness. To enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Notice that, by the blood of Jesus. it's a great thing. I remember when I got an invitation from the 45th president to lead in prayer at a rally down at Wilkes-Barre. There were 4,000 people ultimately at that rally. And I remember going with my wife and with my son. And because I'd been invited and accepted the invitation to lead in prayer, my name was written on their records. And I went to a special entrance. There were crowds lined up all morning for hours to go in. And I went to a special entrance. And boldly, I just went through. And I said to my son, come on, come on. And they looked at the record. Oh, Pastor, yeah, come on. This is my family. Come on, come on. And we just went right down into there and got right down the front row. And I was right in. And then I met with the 45th president, and he spoke of our church. And he asked for what I've asked Brother Bob, our deacon, to do. He asked that we do that. And Brother Bob and I have been doing that. And that's a great thing. We were given the opportunity to enter into this open door to be part of that and to meet with the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And that's a blessing to be able to do that. And I was invited to do it. And so I entered in boldly into that situation. And when I talked to the president, I entered in boldly. I wasn't apologetic. Now, that's what God says. He said, I have made a way for you to enter into the presence of God. If we think of a president, and that's great, how much more for the King of all the universe? That you can have that face-to-face relationship to the holy God of heaven. I remember when I was invited to about nine other preachers throughout the country, pastors were invited because we won a contest to go with Dr. Jack Hiles. And I got to go with him and meet with him, and we went to two different places. One year we went to Texas, another year we went to the Bahamas, but it was an all-expense-paid trip. And what an opportunity that was to meet this great man of God, this great legend of a man of God, and got to speak with him personally. He got to know me by name. He got to talk to me in a personal way, and I got to talk to him. What a blessing that is. I had a boldness because of the invitation to meet with and to get to know this great man that a lot of people never get that privilege. And it was my privilege, an open door that God gave me. Now listen to me, that's great, but there's something greater still. And that is that I have the privilege to walk and talk and know and be known of the God of the universe. You say, well, why is that so great? Think Jewish. Think Jewish. He is a great God. In the Old Testament, God gave the Jewish people the privilege to have the Old Covenant. And under the Old Covenant, they had a high priest. And the high priest is the only one of the people that could come into God's Holy of Holies. Nobody else was invited to come in. Only the high priest could come in. And that only once a year. Only once a year. You say, what was God telling you? He was telling you, listen, the high priest can have a boldness to come into my presence, but only the high priest. But he better not come in brashly. And you're bold, but don't be brash, because I'm a holy God. And so what they did was the garments that were designed for the priest, at the bottom of the robe, they had bells on the robe and the bottom. And when the high priest was going in there once a year, and by the way, when he went in, he better go in the right way. He better go in with the blood offering from bulls and goats for himself and for the people. He had to have two offerings, only once a year, and with blood. It had to be the right blood. And he had to go in with bells on his robe. And he'd go in there, and you know what they did? They tied a rope to the ankle of the priest. They would tie a rope, and it would go all the way outside, and some people got to, in tradition, they got to hold the rope. You say, why'd they get to hold the rope? Because he was in there, and the bells would be going, ding, 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 ding. And all of a sudden the bell stopped and they say, uh-oh, he got killed. God killed him. He did something wrong. And they'd have to drag his carcass out. They have to drag his carcass out. You say, would God do that? Yes, the God of the Bible, my friends, is holy. And we may not die physically when we do these things that we shouldn't do, but we'll die and go to hell unless we come to God the right way. And the right way is through the one that can get you into the Holy of Holies. And he's the one that can truly get you in there. And it has to be with the blood. You see, it says this in the Bible. It says, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and listen, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You see, the blood that the high priest gave could only get him in once a year, and only the high priest. Because it was an animal sacrifice. It didn't really have the power to take away sin. But it pointed, listen, to better blood. What better blood was that? I'm telling you, the best blood is the blood of Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He came as a man, but he was also God. He never sinned. His blood was innocent blood. His blood was perfect blood. And that blood has the power to get you into the presence of God. That blood, if you put your faith in that blood, my friend, you will get into the presence of God. And you will be saved by that blood. There's nothing else that can wash away your sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. The flow that came out of his hands, out of his feet, out of his side, my friends, out down from his head. I'm talking about his back. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. And I like what Ron Wyatt said, a friend of Kent Hovind, an archaeologist. He said when he died on Calvary, on Golgotha, and I saw Golgotha, where it was, I felt the Spirit witness to me, that's where it was. And when he died on Golgotha, there was an earthquake, and the blood came down off his body and hit the ground. And he said that blood, when that earthquake happened, it went down into the ground, and it landed on the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, there in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark is still kept, that was in the Holy of Holies, and that blood sprinkled it. And Wyatt said, before he died, I was a witness that angels were guarding that. And he took a sample of that blood to Israeli doctors, and they couldn't explain it. It had no male chromosome, and they couldn't explain it. And they said, where did you get that blood? And he said, it's your Messiah, as he cried. And then we know, that's what Ron says, but we know the Bible is very clear that the blood that was shed there, Jesus as the high priest, because the Jewish high priest, think Jewish, he had to take that blood that was shed of the bulls and goats, and he had to sprinkle it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, where only God could meet, only once a year. And he could get in there. Jesus, the Bible said, didn't just go through the outer court into the holy place and into the Holy of Holies. He went through the atmosphere of the earth, through outer space, and into the third heaven where God's throne is. And there he sprinkled his own blood on top of the mercy seat. And you know what the Bible says? That blood is still there. That blood is still there. You say, how do you know? Hebrews says, I just read it to you, that blood is speaking to God. And it speaks to God. And just like when Abel's blood was shed by Cain, it spoke, the blood of Abel cried out to God from the ground. It said, vengeance, judgment, vengeance, judgment. But you know what the blood of Jesus cries out? Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let them in. Let them in. Thank God that we have an open door to the holiest place, the Holy of Holies, and it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. But not only do we get in there, listen to me, beloved, not only do we get in there by the blood of Jesus, where, remember, the animal sacrifices couldn't get them in there. The old priest could only go in, but he couldn't get you and I in. But once we accept Jesus as our high priest, through his blood we get in. But let's look at verse 20. There's some other thing that helps us get in. It says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now listen to me. Under the old covenant, there was a veil that the historian, Jewish historian, think Jewish, the Jewish historian Josephus said was 18 inches thick. I mean, it could not be ripped, my friend. And that separated the place where God was and where a person could walk and talk with God and from the holy place and the outer court and so forth. That was the final curtain. And nobody could get in there except the priest once a year. But listen, when Jesus Christ came here, the Bible says he did something. And the Bible says that his flesh had to be torn to get us into the Holy of Holies. Not only did his blood need to be shed, his flesh had to be torn. Not his bones broken, but he had to have a broken body. And that's exactly what happened. You see, when Jesus came here, his body was ripped open. First of all, they put remember the crown of thorns on his head? 2 inches thick, and they took a reed and bashed it, and it went into Jesus' skull, our Lord. See him standing there, see the thorns going deeper into his skull as they hit it, and now the blood begins to trickle down his face. His body is being torn, broken. And then that wasn't enough. They took a cat of nine tails, which was a whip with leather straps, and at the end of the straps, they put bone fragments. They put like pieces almost like glass, and it was at the end of each nine tail, and they would whip his back, his bare back, and then they would pull it back, and it would dig into his skin and rip his skin open until the blood just ran down and all the way down to the bone, not breaking the bone, but just hitting him and hitting him and hitting him. And that was the ripping of his flesh. And then they gave him his cross to carry, and our Lord, our God, as a man carried that cross. He fell down. He had to have help carrying it so he could get to the place of the skull where they crucified him. And they took nails and put it through his hands, and nails and put it through his feet, and nailed him to that wooden cross and hit it with a thud in the ground. All of his bones came out of socket as he was there and trembling, and his body was being ripped. And even after he died, his side was speared and out came blood and water. I mean, his body was ripped open. And you say, why is that important? Because you cannot get into the presence of God except the body of our Lord be ripped open. And that is exactly what the Bible says in Matthew 27, 50 and 51. It says, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, listen, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You see, Jesus, after his body had been broken and torn, now he said, Tetelestai! And that means it's finished. I've done all that I need to do. All the suffering is done. My body has been broken. My blood has been shed. Now that veil can be ripped. And you know how that 18-inch curtain was ripped? From top to bottom. Meaning God ripped it open. And now God says, if you come through Jesus, you can get in. He's the door. Didn't he say, I'm the door? Didn't he say, I'm the way, the truth, and the... You think you can come by Muhammad? You can't. You can come by Buddha? You can't. You can come by the Catholic Pope? You can't. You come by your good works? You can't. He said, I am the way. I am the... And how is he the way? By his precious blood and by his broken body. That opens the way for any believer to come into the presence of God. And you're not just able to go in once a year. You are able to dwell there. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place, that's the Holy of Holies, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or remain under the shadow of the Almighty. That means you're kept protected by him and kept by him. And what a blessing that is. And when you understand that, what a difference that makes in your life. And so you have the opportunity to enter in and live in the Holy of Holies, number one, because of his precious blood that is the greatest blood of all, and because of his broken body, which opens the door for you to go in. Oh, what a blessing that is. And also, listen, by your seeing the open door provided for you to have a heavenly high priest who's always praying for you. Look at verse 21 of chapter 10. He says, and having an high priest over the house of God. I wonder how many of you have gone to a priest and you've confessed your sin to a priest. I know people have done that. And let me just tell you that priest cannot help you get your sins forgiven. For one thing, he's a sinner himself. And for one thing, he didn't offer a sacrifice for your sin. He claims to offer the blood, but the blood's already been offered. You don't offer that twice. You don't get punished twice for the same crime. No, the priest, when he does, and if you go to that and you participate in that, you're participating in a lie. It's a lie because Jesus said it's what? Finish! Tetelestai! And so, he's the last priest. There's no other priest. He's the last sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice. But the Bible says when you enter in through him, you now see a priest for you, a great high priest for you. And guess what he's doing? He is praying that your faith fail not. That's why Peter could say, to whom else shall we go? I'm not turning away. He is ever interceding for me. He is ever representing for me. The Bible says because he lives, we're going to live and keep living. If you can get Christ to die and go back under sin again, then you can go back under sin and you can be condemned. But if you can't get Christ back on the cross, even though you know the priests are trying to do that, put him back on the cross again, we don't have him on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's alive! He rose from the dead! He ascended into heaven! We're not having a funeral here today. We're celebrating a living Savior today! And praise his name! And because of that, I can keep going. Because of that, you can keep going. Now, there were Jewish people that the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, they didn't keep going. They believed on Jesus supposedly in their head, but they forsook him and they turned. So you need to go through God's open door by going through the open door of the new covenant, by seeing into the open door of the Holy of Holies, and lastly, by your going through the door of invitation into the heavenly Holy of Holies. Please look with me at verse 22 of Hebrews 10. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice that, let us draw near. You know, there are three let us's in this. Three lettuces in this. One is, let us draw near with a true heart. Number two is in verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then notice in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. There are three lettuces. We're only talking about one of them today, and that is, let us draw near. You are encouraged to draw near. You say, well, Pastor, how can I draw near? With a true heart. You can draw near, it says, with a true heart. You say, well, Pastor, what's a true heart? Well, it's just the opposite of what Hebrews says of an evil heart of unbelief. The Bible says that if you have an evil heart of unbelief, you'll depart from the living God. And so, you know, I think of Peter when he messed up and sinned, he said to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You know, when you feel like departing from the Lord and getting away from the Lord, when you look in at your sin and you look in at yourself. I like what Robert Murray McShane said. He said, for every look you take at yourself, take 10,000 looks at Jesus Christ. He said, who convinces me of sin? And yet he died for our sin. He died and paid for our sin. He paid for it in full. And a true heart, you see, is a heart that looks away from yourself. And when your faith looks away from yourself and focuses on Jesus Christ, then you are encouraged to draw near. You say, but I have a guilty conscience. It says here, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Now remember, when the priest would shed the blood, he would sprinkle it. He would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, right? He would sprinkle the blood, also sprinkle blood on the people. And the Bible says, not physically is Christ's blood put on us, not physically, but spiritually, you need by faith to have his blood sprinkled on you. That means you have to dip into Christ's blood every time you sin. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? When I sin and I fail God, as soon as I see my sin, I don't have to wait for a priest. I've got a priest who's on duty 24/7. I've got a high priest. And I go right to him. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And faithful means he keeps his promise. He promised that the blood will cleanse your sin. Right then and there. And number two, he is just that sin was paid for by Jesus. And when you sin, you just bring that sin right out into the light of day. You said, God, this is it. It's that bad. And then realize Jesus suffered for that. All that he went through so that you don't have to be punished. And guess what you can have? A clear conscience then. You don't have to have, because the blood sprinkled on your cleanses it. It says it's paid for. It's forgiven. And so now you can go on and walk with God. And sometimes you still feel the hangover of that guilt. And I like what Francis Schaeffer said years ago. He said it's like a big dog that puts his paws in the mud and he's going through the mud. And then he tries to jump up on you and you push that dog away and you push his paws away. And how do you do it? You do it by faith in the blood of Jesus and say he's cleansed it. Because Satan is an accuser of the brother. And he'll keep bringing that up and keep accusing and pointing to that. Why? Because he wants you not to draw near. He doesn't want you to walk close to God. But Christ has become our high priest and his blood has paid for our sin so that we can draw near and we can walk with God. And listen, it says, then your body can be washed with pure water. You say, well, what's pure water? The washing of water with the word of God. The priest, before he would minister, used to have to wash his hands in the laver, then the water. And listen, we don't do that physically, but we do that spiritually. We're to cleanse our hands and our purify our heart by the word of God. And the Spirit of God will take the word of God and he will lead you and guide you. And that will keep you clean, amen, from the world. Now, why were the Jewish people going back that claimed to believe in Jesus? Because even though they had a head faith in their heart, they were really trusting this life in this world. They were not looking to the life to come. They were not looking to the invisible. They were looking to the visible. So they went back to the Jewish priest. They went back to the old temple sacrifices. God said, leave that behind. Leave it behind. It's finished. He ended the Old Testament. You say, when did Jesus end the Old Testament? When on the cross he said, Tetelestai, it's finished. Now we have a new relationship where God will say all of our sins are paid for. And now our new relationship is God will write his word, his commandments on our heart. And now we have a new relationship that gives us entrance into the Holy of Holies to live there. To be in God's presence, not just once a year, but all the time. Are you coming boldly as a child of God? Are you taking advantage of the wonderful provisions he's giving you? Or are you living at a distance? And secondly, if you're here today and you've never received that wonderful gift, I remember when I received it, I was a young man. I was a young man. And I was guilty, and I knew I was going to hell, and I knew I couldn't save myself. And I've told you this many times. My grandmother told me about when Jesus died and said it's finished, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom. And I didn't understand it all then, but somehow I knew I had dead religion. And I had ritual, but I didn't have a relationship with a living God. But I realized, she told me when his body was rent and that veil was ripped. Now we are invited to have that personal relationship. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing to you today. Young person, teenager, adult, if you've never entered into that personal relationship, you're bored with preaching. I was. You're bored with church. I was. I didn't want this. But once I entered into that personal relationship, he's writing his word in my heart now. I have the Spirit of God writing the Word of God. I like church. I like the Word of God. I like Jesus. I like these things. Why? Because I have a new covenant relationship. I'm not under the old covenant. If you're under the old covenant, you'll die and go to hell. And you'll die outside of a personal relationship. What a sad thing that is. He's inviting you by faith to simply do what I did and look to Jesus. And what he did when he died to give us that personal relationship. May you receive it and say, Lord, I receive you as my Savior by faith. And you'll have it. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I